morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on His Bible, and we swear to tell the truth. His name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under Him. In God we still trust. Here in America, He's the one we turn to. Every time the going gets rough, He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we still trust.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome into God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fort Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Amen, brother. What other book is there to interpret it from?
There is none.
Amen.
There is none.
There's all kinds of books out there, you know.
All kinds.
Yeah.
Anything you want.
The Bible says of making of many books, there is no end. And that is true.
It is true.
On and on and on and on and on it goes.
Has always been and will always be.
But there's only one book. Only one. I think, Timotheus, that there are something like 40 million plus books in the Library of Congress. Excuse me. And the Bible is one of them.
Yeah.
And that is the only book.
For now.
Yeah, for now. That is the only book that will last when everything else has been destroyed. That's the Word of God, the Holy Word of God. The Word of God and souls are the only two things that will last. And if people are interested in talking about that today,
yes,
I'd love for them to call.
Yes.
789-0318. How would they, Timotheus? We live in an age in which people are using these cellular devices. I mean, almost exclusively.
Oh, yeah.
And so how would they reach us on one of those?
Well, the same thing.
Same thing.
Dial the phone number.
Same way? Come
same
on.
Same way.
But is
or
that the only way?
They could email, too. They
yeah.
could email us
yeah.
At godspointofview@yahoo.com if they have a question, comment, or concern or something of that
sure.
nature. Just like to pass along some more information.
Sure.
You can email us at godspointofview@yahoo.com.
That'll work, wouldn't it?
It would work.
Well,
we certainly
night.
Hope so, anyway.
Last
That's our
Sunday
intention.
Night. If it doesn't work, then there's a technical error of some kind. Last Sunday night, we experienced our first graduation of Little Light Academy preschool, and we had a blast. Everything just went beautifully. Timotheus, can you think of anything you would change? Anything?
Just that little bit of feedback from the
classes. I knew that you were gonna talk about that very thing. You see, nobody else is remembering that.
But I do. Because I was responsible for that. anything else? No.
Wasn't it wonderful?
It was precious.
Yeah.
If ever a word to describe that to me was precious.
Precious. Because of the little graduates that were there. They
Absolutely.
Were
Absolutely. They were.
And in all fairness to Timotheus, folks, this was the first time the system had been used publicly that way. Now, we used it, the Highland Bluegrass Gospel Quartet. Broke it in.
Practiced on it.
Yeah, practiced on it. But this was the first event that we had.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so pleased. Words fail me. And you know, when that happens to me, something.
Yeah, you're like me.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You know, it was great. The
it
sound was
great.
The folks were great. We had a good crowd there. Everybody was great. The kids were so disciplined and so responsive to everything, quoting their little Bible verses. Listen, folks, you got a child, 3 to 5, a grandchild, 3 to 5. You need to have that child enrolled in a Christian environment preschool, and I can't think of a better one than Little Light Academy.
Yeah, and this is not a daycare.
It is not.
There is a difference between a daycare. You watch these children, 5-year-old children, how disciplined they were, how they had such a good time. You could tell that they had been instructed by godly principles, by godly people, how to act, and for 5 years old, I was just, usually little 5 year old kids, you can't hold their attention span. They're running all over the place.
Absolutely.
Grandparents and parents and teachers are running after them and grabbing them. But these children were so well prepared. And it was just a pleasure. And again, they were precious.
Goes back to leadership.
Yes.
Goes back to the teachers.
Yeah.
Miss Lisa, Miss Michelle, Miss Stephanie.
Yeah.
They work with these kids every day.
Yeah.
And they have a routine they follow, a disciplined routine.
Mm-hmm.
And this was no different.
Yeah.
They instructed the children exactly how to do it. They rehearsed it and they were perfect. Perfect.
They were, that's for sure. And I spoke with Lisa last night. We were talking about that, Miss Lisa, and she was telling about some of the parents. She told the parents, she said, not only do we love these children, but the church loves these children.
Oh,
and the parents don't get to see us unless they go to church at Highland. They don't get to see us and know how we feel about their children, but we do love those children.
Amen.
For sure.
Amen. Indeed. Amen. 7890318 or godspointofview@yahoo.com. Got a lot, as we always do, have a lot of stuff, Timotheus, you know.
A lot of stuff going on.
That we would like to address. But we take telephone calls and we take emails.
Yes.
And so we have an email this morning. I checked it earlier today, as I usually always try to do. And so we want to go to that email right now. It's a question about the Spirit of God. Here goes, Timotheus.
Okay.
And folks, obviously a member of the church there last night. You briefly touched on the subject in your sermon last night about the Spirit.
You did?
About the Spirit. Some believe we are born with the Spirit. But I don't believe that is the Spirit of God.
Yeah, we're born with a Spirit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Born with a Spirit. The Spirit of God only comes in the new birth.
Yeah.
We have a natural spirit, a spirit of man.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit of man, the ecclesiastical writer tells us, goes upward. Mm-hmm. When we die, the Spirit of God goes back, the spirit of man goes back to God who gave it. The Spirit of God comes only after we reach a point of moral awareness. And I hadn't planned to get this little pamphlet out of my briefcase this morning, Timotheus, but as I reached in and got my folder, this came out with it, and maybe it's a God thing, I don't know. But the pamphlet is entitled, Am I Old Enough to Be Baptized? There's not a parent or a grandparent anywhere, especially parents, when their kids get to be 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, and they, especially if they're church kids, they want to know about being baptized.
My grandson.
Am I old enough? Now, how old is he?
He is, he will be 8. No, he will be 9 in September. He is 8. Yes. So you hit it right on the nail on the head. He's right at that age.
Yeah.
You're wondering because he doesn't want to be lost. He's asking questions. He is. Yeah.
Well, this little pamphlet would help you and your children.
Yep.
Am I old enough to be baptized?
Yep.
And so this the pamphlet talks about realizing a child coming to an age of having a conscience.
Yeah. Seeing the difference between right and wrong and what's being taught at church and those
moral
things.
Responsibility.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes parents want to hold them back too long because they think, well, they're not old enough.
They don't understand everything.
They don't understand everything.
I didn't understand everything.
No one does.
Yeah.
No one does.
That's a misconception, I think, with us a lot.
Now, so anyway, the querist, the emailer is right. They say some believe we are born with the Spirit. That is the Spirit of God. The Spirit that enables us, the Spirit that indwells us now. That Spirit only comes about because of the new birth.
And the new birth, for those that may be listening, what are you talking about, new birth?
The new birth is necessary. It is a necessity if you're going to get to heaven. Now, it's a good question to both of you. Let me read to the folks a verse or two of Scripture here. John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1 says it like this. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, To them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but by the will, nor by the will of man, but of God. Let me read that again. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Mm-hmm.
There's two births. If you're born once, Timotheus, you're going to die twice.
Mm-hmm.
If you're only born once, and I'm talking about the physical birth,
yes.
You're born into this world.
Yeah, as we all are.
As we all are, and you never experience the new birth. You're going to die twice. You're going to die physically, and you're going to die spiritually. You're going to be separated from God throughout all eternity. But if you're born twice, physically, of course,
mm-hmm.
and then spiritually reborn, that is a moment in a person's life, and we were just talking about it with respect to children,
mm-hmm.
a moment in your life where you recognize your sinfulness. You recognize that you have sinned before God and against God, and are penitent of that, are sorrowful for that. Now, what am I talking about? We have a lot of people say they're sorry about sin, they're sorry, but they go out and do the same thing over again.
Yeah.
And we're talking about repentance in that we change, because that's the definition of it. It's a changed mind,
mm-hmm.
which leads to a changed life. Paul outlines this beautifully in Galatians chapter 5, talks about the sins of the flesh. Then he talks about the fruit of the Spirit.
Oh, yes.
And you can always tell if someone has experienced the new birth because they're exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah.
If they're not exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit, they can tell you they're Christian all day long.
Yeah.
But something is wrong with their salvation. So this individual writing us to us about the Spirit is right on.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they're exactly correct. I believe the Bible teaches that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the living God that enables us, indwells us, comes to live in us. Jesus talked about this, Timotheus. Why, you know he did when he was talking about leaving this world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he preached the 14th, the 15th, and the 16th chapters of John. He prayed the 17th chapter. So in the 14th chapter of John, Jesus had this to say about the Spirit. He said, I pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even, watch it now, the Spirit of truth,
yeah.
whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. All of this discourse here, John 14, John 15, John 16, is talking about the coming of the Spirit of God like never before.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And it came, by the way, the third person of the Godhead. Not everybody believes that, but the Bible, I think, bears it out.
Mm-hmm.
And he says when he comes in John chapter 16, he says, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin.
Mm-hmm.
One translation says he will convict the world of sin.
Yeah.
When a person is convicted of sin,
mm-hmm.
they're ready to yield their heart to Christ.
That's where you have a choice.
Absolutely.
Everyone has a choice.
Absolutely. He will convict the world of sin or reprove the world of sin, the King James Version says, and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to the Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Now, when did this Spirit of God come? Well, if you go just a few pages over to Acts chapter 2,
mm-hmm.
you will find that the Spirit of God came on them on a religious holiday. God is wise, and that may sound like a simple statement to make. Everybody knows that, but he has a plan. And
he
follows it.
And his way is not our way.
His way is not our way.
Yeah.
He sticks with his plans, and we often do not.
Yeah.
But he chose there to be a great gathering at Jerusalem on the day called Pentecost. Pente meaning 50 or 5. In this case, 50 days after Passover. Upwards of 2 million people were there to celebrate this religious observance. And God used that opportunity to speak words of truth, even in unknown or unfamiliar tongues, foreign tongues, we might say, to the people gathered there. Some of them didn't know what they were talking about, because each person heard in their own language.
Yes.
The manifold works of God. And this was a miraculous thing that proved that these men were in fact from God. After the sermon was preached, which was not about tongue speaking or not about any number of other things we could mention, but about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
that was always the message.
Mm-hmm.
Everything really should be the only message today.
Yeah.
Everything else is just commentary.
Yeah. Fluff.
Right. And sometimes needed.
Yeah.
But still it's commentary on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And when these individuals heard that they were responsible of killing the Son of God, they said the Bible says they were pricked or cut to their heart. And we always go to the blood pumper, don't we? That's just part of our makeup. But they were convicted. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter responded, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Back to the Spirit.
Back to the Spirit again.
Here we go.
And so when they did that, they in fact did receive the Spirit, and they were saved. So I think the emailer is absolutely correct. I don't believe we're born with the new birth Spirit of God. We're born with a spirit that animates our physical body. God breathed into their nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But the Spirit of God comes when one accepts Christ, becomes obedient to the will of Christ. That's what I think the Bible teaches. Timotheus, do you have any other comment on that? Or is anything you would say on that would just be commentary?
It would be just commentary. Okay. I do want to back up because I do analogies in my mind
mind. That's a good place.
Yeah, that's a good place to do analogies. But I was thinking about what you were talking about earlier with coming to a realization that you have sinned before God. I think a lot of people go through life not really paying a whole lot of attention to God. We've got our blinders on. We just kind of do our thing, and there's been no repercussion for the things that we've done or how bad we are. And this thought came to my mind back when I was a teenager. My dad and myself started teasing my mother about something that had happened, and we went way too far with it. I got a week of silent treatment.
Yeah.
My dad got two.
Yeah, well, he should. He deserved it.
He knew better.
He knew better.
But my point of that is, yeah, that broke my heart.
Yeah.
She could have beat me to death and I would have been much better. But a week, it hurt her.
Sure.
And when you think about that and how we have hurt God, and you were talking about if there's not a change, I would never, and I don't think I have, she would have to tell me, but I don't think I've ever done that to her again.
Yeah.
I tease her about things. She
sure.
teases me about things.
Sure.
But not to that degree.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to do that to her anymore. So if we have really realized what we have done to the Lord, you don't want to do that again. If you
Amen.
Honestly are a Christian and you have had a change in heart and the fruit of the Spirit now dwells within
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It changes. It changes you inwardly, which leads to an outward change.
So,
righteousness is an inside-out job.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You can go through all the motions. You can go to church. You can wear the finest clothes. If that's what you think going to church is all about, you can drive the finest car, you can live in the finest home. All of those things are fine as far as they go.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's not a change within you, everything that is done is of a wasted period of time. It's a wasted substance. It serves no purpose. You might impress some people,
mm-hmm.
but you're not impressing God.
Well, and I would think that until you come to the realization of just what you have done against the Lord, you know, people may hear the message, say, well, I need to be saved. I need to be baptized. Oh, yeah, okay. And I love the Lord.
Yeah.
And you do that, but you don't really grasp, you know, and you haven't been a murderer. You haven't been a rapist. You haven't been a, you know, all these things. But until you really realize, I'm as wicked as they come, though.
Sure, sure.
Until you really hurt the soul of God.
Yeah.
then I think we really get the change.
Yeah.
I think we really realize what salvation's truly about.
Well, I would like to think that we do, because that's exactly what needs to take place. A lot of people can come to that conclusion and still walk away.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all about a choice. You have
and
a choice.
Sure. And I've had a lot of people over the years respond by saying, I know what I need to do, and I know I should do it, but I don't want to do it right now.
Yeah.
I've got too much living to do. They think it's living. Some people, as I told a fellow one time, I said, you simply just too wicked to change.
That's harsh talk,
bro. It is harsh talk, but it's true.
Yeah.
Some folks are loving their wicked life.
Yeah. Don't want to give it up.
The Bible speaks of living in debauchery.
Mm-hmm.
And, everybody knows what that means. And folks just don't want to quit. They have this idea that sometime later on down the road, you know, just maybe
I'll
on their deathbed,
right,
they'll make it right.
Yeah.
God is no fool. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow a life sown to the flesh, you'll reap the flesh. You'll reap the whirlwind. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. Sowing to the Spirit is in that same section of the book of Galatians. That's chapter 6, if memory serves me. Chapter 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And we sow to the Spirit by adding those spiritual graces in our lives. That comes after our salvation.
But somebody may be saying, well, now, wait a minute, preacher. If you sow, you know, I've done bad things. Am I going to reap bad things even though I have been saved?
Here's the great thing about the love of God. The Bible says the love of God covers over a multitude of sins.
Yeah.
But we also have to acknowledge that there's certain things that people don't reap from until years later. And so we pray that God certainly covers over our multitude of sins. But there are some sins that have such a ripple effect.
Yeah.
That maybe 20, 30 years down the road, you might have to pay some for that.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's
spiritually speaking, you're forgiven.
The sins are forgiven, but the consequences are still there.
Yeah, the jail is full of people that are forgiven people. I'm satisfied they're saved people in the prison system, in jails.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says, well, not many. Well, maybe not many, but they're saved people. They have the same freedom. You can be saved there, same as you can in a church pew.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many folks we over the years, Brother Music and I over the years have preached to and baptized out there. And so folks can make a decision wherever they are. Paul and Silas was in prison. Was singing hymns late at night.
Yeah.
Yeah, midnight, as a matter of fact. So you can praise God anywhere you are. But there needs to be a change. And as a matter of fact, there was an old boy out there one time, and he was talking about how the Lord had saved him and all was well. And I said, I turned to the other guys in the service, and I said, I want you guys to watch him. And I want you to report to me in a couple, 3 weeks. Has he really changed or not? He didn't change.
Uh-oh.
He didn't change.
Yeah.
Consequently, there's no salvation. There has to be. The Bible says godly sorrow,
yeah,
worketh repentance to salvation. Not to be repented of, not the sorrow of the world. It's a sorrow directed toward God. Romans 2 Corinthians 7:10. Romans chapter 2 tells us that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. When you realize just how good God has been to you. For when we were yet without strength, Paul continues in the Roman letter chapter 5, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly.
Yeah.
Ungodly. That's a harsh term, isn't it? Harsh word.
It is.
Ungodly.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what all humanity is without the Lord Jesus Christ. Seems unfair to say it like that, but that's what the Bible teaches, and I believe the book. Someone said, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, Timotheus, there are no good people.
Well, even Jesus said that.
He did. He did. Why callest thou me good?
Yeah.
There's none good but one. That's God.
Yeah.
So, all of us have our problems. All of us are infected with sin.
Yeah.
Even at this early hour in the day, I would not want my thoughts projected on a screen for all the world to see.
No, I would not.
So we're here, and if you'd like to call us, 789-0318, or email us at godspointofview@yahoo.com. We have an email, Timotheus.
Oh, one just came in?
One just came a little while ago.
Okay.
And says, Can you please explain what is meant by a new heaven and a new earth?
Yeah.
In Revelation. Thanks. Well, the new heaven and the new earth is going to be, I believe, our final resting place, living place, abode, call it whatever you like.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to Revelation chapter 22. You'll read about the new heaven and the new earth. Now, a lot of folks haven't...
We're going to do some planet hopping or something here, are we?
Well, no. No, I believe, personally, Timotheus...
Yes, sir?
I believe this is what's going to happen.
Okay.
I believe that mankind will get worse and worse as time goes by.
No.
Oh, yeah. That's a shock to you.
Yeah, I think we're seeing that.
And in contrast to what the post-millennialist believes, that man's just getting better and better and better, and by the way, you don't hear much of that anymore. Certainly after
not in the headlines that I see
World
here.
War II, people don't believe that anymore. Everybody knows things are getting worse.
Yeah.
And I think they'll reach a point that God will rapture the church out of this world. And I believe that because of scriptures like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation chapter 4 teaches us that there's a great gathering around the throne of God. I believe that's the church. And Revelation 5, but then you get into Revelation 6, and you begin to see a tribulation period that begins on the earth. And there'll be 7 years of tribulation. You read first about the seals that are let out, if I could say it that way, on mm-hmm. the earth. All kinds and all manner of disastrous things are going to take place. And then there's the bowls, and then there's the vials. All of these things are released on the earth, and it's total chaos, total destruction.
Millions of people will die.
Oh yes, the earth will be changed. The looks of the earth will be changed. The sea will be. Everything's going to be changed. The celestial things will be. Everything's going to be changed, and there's going to. It's all culminating now around, I believe, the little nation of Israel, in which the nations of the world, the confederations of the world, which I believe are forming now a one world kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
10 nations, and by the way, the United States is never mentioned here. There's no mention of our beloved homeland.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what all that means. I have some ideas about that, but that's not the question. The question is the new heaven and the new earth. Once Jesus comes back with the saints of God that have gone on to heaven in the rapture, he will destroy the enemies of God with the sword of his mouth, with the word of his mouth. And this earth, I believe, according to Peter, 2 Peter 3, will be dissolved. The elements will be dissolved. The earth, everything will be dissolved with fervent heat. But Peter also says, but according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth,
mm-hmm.
wherein dwelleth righteousness.
He's going to purify.
He is.
Yeah.
And he's going to renovate, if you please, mm-hmm. purify this earth that we're living on. And the Bible says that he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years.
And Satan will be bound.
Satan will be bound during that time. And in Revelation chapter 22, or Revelation 21, he talks about seeing that new heaven and new earth. So I'll just read from the New International Version. He says, "And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea." Watch this, Timotheus. "I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no mourning, crying, pain. The old order of things has passed away.'" And I believe that heaven is going to be not here on this earth, because this earth is going to be dissolved and going to burn up, but a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and God will be there. This, I believe, is the new heaven and the new earth. Heaven is not out yonder someplace. If I understand the scripture correctly, heaven is coming down to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait.
I can't wait either.
Bless you, brother.
We want to thank you today for joining us for another edition of God's Point of View presented by the Highland Church of Christ. And we'd love to invite you to services. Sunday school gets underway at 9:30 a.m. Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m. for Sunday morning worship. We have our life groups Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. There's a class for everyone, something for everyone. So come and join us for that. Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. And don't forget about Looking to Jesus, 7 a.m. Sunday morning right here at WSIP. And again, thanks for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View.